Hello, I'm Mike Salem. Welcome to the Christian Worship Hour, a weekly broadcast with my dad, Pastor Salem. For over 45 years, CWH has proclaimed the good news of the gospel to those who are lost and provide hope and encouragement to the Christians around the world. We welcome you to invite your friends, family, and neighbors to view this timeless program with you. Today, Dad speaks about the Bible, this perfect, wonderful, and permanent book, God's Word. In today's program, you will experience truth from the four pictures of the Bible: the hammer, sword, mirror, and lamp. Now, let's join Dad with his message titled, The Power of God's Word. We hope it provides comfort and gives you strength. God bless your week.
I'm Pastor Salem, and I want to welcome you to the Christian Worship Hour. We're always happy when the weekend comes. We can all get together all around the world by radio and television alike. So we're just always happy to come. And I know you pray for us and we pray for you. And someday we're all going to be in heaven. If we accepted Jesus, we're going to be there. And that's our goal, to have everybody open their heart to the Savior. Well, we're looking at Psalm 63 today and verses 5 through 8. My soul, wait thou only upon God, for my expectation is from him. He only is my rock and my salvation. He is my defense. I shall not be moved. In God is my salvation and my glory. The rock of my strength and my refuge is in God. Trust in him in all times. Ye people, pour out your heart before him. God is a refuge for us. And oh, dear Heavenly Father, thank you that we can always turn to you, and you are always there, and there's nothing too great for you. There isn't anything going to run up against that you can't handle with the twinkling of an eye. And so we just love you, dear Lord. Heavenly Father, we love you, and we love your Son and the Holy Spirit. And now, in this service today, honor your word. In Jesus' name, amen. And Jan's going to sing for us, God's Mercy. And God bless you, Jan.
Like the whiteness of the sea.
thank you, Jan. And isn't that wonderful, a thing to sing about the mercy and the grace and the love of Jesus? And I never, don't ever ask for justice. I never ask for justice. I ask for mercy. Mercy and grace. And he always deals that way because he's paid for my sins and he can forgive them. They're all paid in full. And I am eternally grateful to the dear Savior for that. Well, we want to answer some letters, read some letters. And we can't read them if you don't send them. And so you write to us. We'd love to hear from you. Maybe you got a question. We'll try to answer it. And just write to us. I'll give the address in just a few minutes. So get your pencil and paper ready, unless you can memorize it. Maybe you got a photographic mind, and that's just wonderful. Power to you. But I use a pencil and paper. Well, here's a letter from Sioux Falls, South Dakota, our neighbors to the south. I can remember my mother having the TV on to your program before we went to church way back in the early 80s. May God continue to bless this ministry. Well, that was right at the beginning. We started in January 1979. And, you know, by the grace of God, he supplied for us all the way. And we've heard from people that come to know Jesus, and we've heard from shut-ins. You know, we pray for the shut-ins every Sunday. Every week we have a service, we pray for the shut-ins. We're mindful of you, and our theme, we always like to do what God told Isaiah, comfort ye, my people. And that's our business, to proclaim the good word of God, and there's comfort in the word of God. Let's see, here's Armour, South Dakota. This man writes, you talked about your mother. When my brother and I were young, we had no storybooks to read. So Mom would sit by the kerosene lamp at night and read a few verses from the Bible for us, and then say a prayer for all of us, and then to bed we would go. And that's exactly the way my mother was. She read that Bible, the Bible stories, and she prayed with us, and she'd tuck us in and give us a kiss. And I owe so much to my mother. I wonder where I would be if it wasn't for my mother helping me come to Jesus. I can never say enough about her. I think of her so often. Here's Seattle, Washington. I'm thankful that I found you on TV. I tell my homebound friends and leave some literature in the room downstairs in my condo where I do the washing. Well, good for you. She's getting the word out. And you know what? If everybody that was worshiping with us this morning, if you would tell one person, or maybe it's the afternoon, I don't know what time you get this, but if everybody, you would tell one person, oh, we would double overnight. And not that we need the numbers, but it means that more will hear about Jesus. And they can't call on Jesus. They can't accept Jesus if they don't know about it. If they don't know him. How can they come to the Lord? So you can be a part of the team. And by just spreading the word, getting the word out. Let's see, Northfield, Minnesota. We are both in our 80s and living in a senior citizen retirement campus. We have just celebrated our 65th anniversary. We do not have a car, so we greatly enjoy listening to your service by way of the TV on Sunday mornings. Not only do we enjoy listening to your messages, but the service format brings back so many good memories of our childhood and youth days, which was in our home church in Malacca, Minnesota, the Christian Missionary Alliance Church. And so, oh, the folks that can't get out, and here we are in the blizzards of January, and I know I use a walker, and I'm telling you, you don't skip around like a March lamb anymore. And when there's that ice, oh, that ice scares me. I got scared just talking about it. And so we're so glad we can just, you can worship with us. You can have church right in your home. The Holy Spirit is there just as much as he is with us here. And he's all over the world. Whoever will listen to the word of God, the Holy Spirit will speak to you and he'll bless you and he'll strengthen you. Oh, that's just great. So thank you all for writing. Here's Jefferson, Georgia. And they say, I have heard your program over television many times, was blessed each time. I was glad to hear someone who sought to stick to God's word and not sugarcoat the gospel. I'm a 71-year-old man. I've lived my 70 years and 10, and I would ask you to pray for me about my salvation. When I was 17 years of age, the best I knew how, I prayed to God for salvation, but I've never been baptized. I'm not a member of any church, although I attend church regularly as a visitor. I need to feel the assurance of salvation and find a church that stands upon God's truth without compromise to the sins of the world and follow the Lord in water baptism. I truly want to be His in His will. The hour is dark, and all the best to you in the Lord. Well, here's a dear brother, and there's a lot to be said here. He needs to be in church. You need to go to church. If you can possibly go, you go. Go where they're preaching the Bible. It doesn't take long to tell if they're preaching the Bible, if they're telling stories or what's going on. And then ask the Holy Spirit. He'll guide you. And he says, forsake not the assembling of yourselves together. Get with others. And don't go just to see what you can get. Go to see what you can do and how you can add to it. But the thing I want to address here is, he says, I need to feel the assurance of salvation. Well, now, brother, you may wait a long time before you feel the assurance of salvation. Now, some people do and some people don't. And salvation is not an emotional thing at all. It's just a pure business deal where the Jesus says, if you confess your sins to me and promise to forsake your sins and follow me, I'll forgive your sins and I'll write your name in the Lamb's Book of Life. And some people have feelings, and some people get goose pimples, and some people just rejoice, and some sing. And then some are just like I was. I was a 10-year-old boy, and I just didn't know. I went to the bench. We had a bench where we had to go to give. It was a country school. We had all the grades. There was a bench you'd have to go and recite on your lessons. And I knelt down there, and I remember one tear dropped. But I prayed, but I didn't have any feelings at all. But what you have to remember is this. If you accept Jesus Christ, you have eternal life. Now, Jesus told us about that. He says in 1 John chapter 5, this is what he says. He knows there's going to be people that think they should have feelings. And some people say, I had feelings, you ought to have feelings. Well, maybe you had them or maybe you didn't, but that doesn't mean I have to have them. You have to receive Jesus, that's for sure. But here, he writes in 1 John chapter 5, verses 12 and 13. 1 John chapter 5, 12 and 13. He who hath the Son hath life. He who hath not the Son of the life, who hath not the Son of God, hath not life. These things have I written. Now listen. These things have I written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God. Here, listen to this. That ye may know that you have eternal life. I've written these things so you know. It doesn't say that you'll feel, or that you'll get goose pimples, or you'll get chills or something like that. He says, I've written so that you can know in your head you receive Jesus in your heart and you believe him and that's it. You don't have to have feelings. And you will later on when you walk with the Lord. You're 86 years. I don't have a lot of feelings, but I just know he's with me. I just know it. So let's see. Minneapolis, Minnesota. Oh, I like this here. I look forward to each Sunday because of your broadcast. I'm a 90-year-old retired truck driver. I appreciate the way you tell the straight message. There's a blessing in each one for me. Thanks for the Bible-based preaching. I'm on a major highway going through South Dakota, and I see those trucks, those beautiful trucks. And I pray for them a lot of times because I was raised on the farm. I know just exactly what they're doing. Never was a truck driver, never was a very good driver, so they never let me touch the truck. But we had old wrecks of cars anyway. You never have nothing like they have now. So I like the truck drivers. Here's one that I'm putting in just because we heard from. It's Washington, D.C. I prayed for you, and I enjoyed the portion of the service that I heard. So we're in this capital city. Isn't that wonderful? They need the gospel there, but I guess they need it everywhere, don't they? All over the world, they need it. One more I want to read, and that is there is one question I want to ask you, and you might think it is silly since I'm a Christian. I read in a magazine of a statement by a pastor that when we get to heaven, we won't know anyone, but we'll just be part of the angels. This really upset me, as I have heard you proclaim so much how wonderful it will be to see our loved ones. If we can't look forward to seeing them, how depressing it would be, and nothing to look forward to. Are there any specific Bible verses that relate to this? Well, I don't know who this pastor is, but he's kind of a little off base here. But if you've got a pencil, you can write this down. These people saw the resurrected Christ. That is, after he was crucified and raised, they saw him in the resurrected body. And that's what he's going to have in heaven. That's what we're going to have in heaven. Mary Magdalene recognized the risen Christ at the tomb. Mary Magdalene recognized him. That's in John 20, verses 11 to 18. Cleopas and his companions recognized Jesus on the Emmaus Road. That's Luke 24, 13 to 35. Stephen recognized Jesus while he was on his deathbed, on Stephen's deathbed, Acts 6, verses 8 to 15. And Christ's disciples recognized him countless times, and there were 500 to one time that saw him, 1 Corinthians 15, verse 6. And I guess maybe the best verse is from a little old lady. And they ask her, well, honey, will you know your loved ones when you get to heaven? She says, of course I will. You think I'm going to be dumber in heaven than I am on earth? How can you beat that? See, of course you'll know you have people in heaven. And there's something else that this pastor's mixed up on, too. You won't be an angel. Angels are created by God, and humanity is made a little lower than the angels. Angels are created by God, 2 Peter 2, verse 11. They never sinned, so they never die. We die because we sinned. Angels never die. Luke 20, 35 and 36. Christians can never be angels. Because we're going to be like the resurrected Christ. And John says, beloved, now are these the sons of God. We are the sons of God. And it doth not yet appear what we shall be. But we know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him. Jesus, not the angel. Jesus isn't an angel. We'll be like Jesus. That's in 1 John 3, verse 2. Well, I could do that all day. But I got a red hot sermon I got to get to here. And so let's move along. And so you write to us if you want any of this information. We have CDs and DVDs. And we send them out on a free will offering basis, and you can get all this from that if you want to. You write to us at the Christian Worship Hour. Christian Worship Hour. And the box is 2002, 2002, and we're in Aberdeen, South Dakota, 57402 USA. And all of you on our internet, on a shortwave, be sure to get that box, 2002, 2002, Aberdeen, South Dakota, 57402. Or if you want to, you can get us on the website and you can read all about us and you can download some of the sermons and all the lots of things. And so you get us at Christian Worship Hour, and it's at ChristianWorshipHour.com. And something else, there's some magical thing about ChristianWorshipHour.com. You can send money over the internet. Can you believe that? You just get your ChristianWorshipHour.com, you take donate. And you can use PayPal, or you can use one of the cards, one of the credit cards, and you can send from any part of the world, and we'll get an American currency, and we'll pay our bills. You say, well, I'd send some money, but I don't know. I don't know. He's kind of old. He might go on a party or something with that, 96 years old. He might get a sports car. I don't know how he'll spend it. Well, we are a member of the Evangelical Council for Financial Accountability. That's an international organization, and they audit our books. And when they audit our books, they go page by page and line by line, and that drives us crazy. But we're just as clean as a hound's tooth. And when you send, you can get it. Now, if you would like to get our Bible study, we have a Bible study. And it's called The New Song. Just write for The New Song. The Bible study this month of January is going to be The Light of the World. Light of the World is Jesus. And so you write to us. And we need to hear from you. And we need to have your gift. So you pray about that. And so now I'm going to pray about, I'm going to say a little prayer. Jan's going to play, and then you pray. Ask the Lord, should I support this ministry? Is this something should I support? And if he says yes, you ask him how much. If he says no, give it somewhere else, give it somewhere else. Be sure you give it. Don't just sit on it. And so then you send it to the Christian Worship Hour, Box 2002, Aberdeen. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you for these gifts. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you, Jan. We appreciate your ministry of music. It just helps us so much, and you're a blessing to a lot of people. We're reading from Psalm 119 today, and then in our prayer, we'll always pray for the persecuted church, and we're going to pray for our brothers and sisters in Ethiopia. But the psalmist writes, "Wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his way? By taking heed thereto according to thy word. With my whole heart have I sought thee. O, let me not wander from thy commandments. Thy word have I hid in my heart that I might not sin against thee. Blessed art thou, O Lord, teach me thy statutes. With my lips have I declared all the judgments of thy mouth. I have rejoiced in the way of thy testimonies as much as in all riches. I will meditate in thy precepts and I have respect unto thy ways. I will delight myself in thy statutes. I will not forget thy word." So, Heavenly Father, we join the psalmist in saying, "I will not forget thy word." Your word gives us light. Your love guides us and directs us. Your word is like a hammer. Your word is like a sword. Your word is like a mirror. We're going to be looking at all of those things in our sermon today, Lord, and just help it. Help us that it'll bring us to a saving grace of your Son, that we'll come to Jesus and accept Jesus. And those of us who know you and claim your name, help us to guide our steps aright so that we will live a life that's honoring to your name and a life that's a blessing to others. Dear Lord, we want to pray for our brothers and sisters in Ethiopia. And we read recently of the awful time, the attacks on the church in Cairo especially. And so we're just praying today that you'll just guide and help them to know Lord, that you were there, and that they won't have to suffer too long. That you'll help them, or you'll take them home, and you take us all home, Lord. Life is so brief that it doesn't be long. We'll all be in your presence if we're trusting you, if we've accepted you. And dear Lord, bless those people in Ethiopia, and help them to know that they are a blessing to us. They're a model to us. They're a model to us on what commitment is. And so just encourage them and bless their heart. Someday we'll see them in heaven, we'll talk with them. So now bless us in this service, Lord, that all we do and say will honor Jesus. Beautiful, wonderful Jesus. In his name, amen. Hank's going to sing for us, "All Hail the Power of Jesus' Name." God bless you, Hank.
Oh, hail the power of Jesus. name, let angels prostrate fall. Bring forth the royal diadem and crown him Lord of all. Bring forth the royal diadem and crown him Lord of all. Ye chosen seed of Israel's race, ye ransomed from the fall. Hail him who saves you by his grace and crown him Lord of all. Hail him who saves you by his grace and crown him Lord.
God bless you and thank you. And I singing while he's singing, that's really what all of us want to do. All of us who know the Lord, we want to make him Lord of all. First place, that wonderful, wonderful Savior. And he loves us and he'll use us all in his work if we just give ourselves to him, follow him. Well, we want to talk about God and we want to talk about his word, the Bible today. And there are four different ways. There are different pictures of the Bible in the Bible. There are different pictures, and it portrays different ministries of the Bible because the Bible answers every need that we'll ever have. We have all of the answers in the wonderful Word of God, and it's relevant. It was written, some of it was written 3,000 years ago, but it is relevant, and it's just as modern as it is today. And I've said so many times, if I want to read about what happens yesterday, I read the newspaper. If I want to read about what's going to happen tomorrow, I read the Bible, this wonderful, wonderful God. And it's a great and a wonderful gift that God has given the human race. Patrick Henry said, one near his death, said, here is a book, the Bible, worth more than all others and that were ever printed. Yet it is my misfortune never to have found time to read it. And I wonder how many times that we do get all taken up with things. We watch television, we're reading, or we're doing something, or we're playing one of these games that we got all these little games they can play now. They're just to kill time. And if we just put it in the Word of God. And I read one place where it says, read the Bible sitting down, read the Bible. When you read the newspaper, read it standing up so you don't read too much of it and spend too much time of it, but sit down and read the Word of God. And all we miss so much because Christians miss so much because we don't spend time in the Word. God tells us that the Bible is a perfect book. That is, it has no error. Sometimes people just not adjust it within the last 10 days. Somebody says, well, I don't read the Bible because it contradicts itself. Bible never contradicts itself. God doesn't speak out of both sides of his mouth. He never will contradict himself. And if you read two verses and they contradict itself, it's because you haven't studied that Bible and you haven't really studied and see what it's really saying or the context or how it's said or who said it. You know, Paul says, study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. So take the book and study it. He will never contradict himself. And the Bible is given by inspiration of God himself. And this is going to, and it's never going to end. It's never going to cease. Heaven and earth is going to cease. Heaven and earth is going to pass away. Peter talks about it as earth is going to be destroyed in fervent heat, and it's going to melt, and it's going to be gone. But the Bible will never end. Forever thy word is settled. Forever, O God, thy word is settled in heaven. So let's look at four things today that got me compared to the Bible. The first one I put down was in Jeremiah. And he really talks about two things. He talks about fire in the Bible and in the New Testament. He says in Jeremiah 23, verse 29, is not my word, God is speaking, is not my word like as a fire, saith the Lord, and like a hammer that break the rock in pieces? God's word is mighty. It burns deep like a fire, and it crushes all things before it like a hammer. Fire has twofold effect. It has protection for God's friends and God's people. It has destruction for God's enemies. And fire is a picture of the word of God. And it says in the scriptures, is not my word like as of a fire? So the word of God is as a fire. It is a penetrating fire. It goes to the innermost parts of the soul. And I'm going to tell you, that's why a lot of people don't want to go where the Bible is preached, because it burns, it gets to the heart. It's like a hammer, it breaks it to pieces, and like a sword, it pierces to the dividing asunder of spirit and soul. And nowhere in the Bible is a spirit and soul ever divided. They are different, but they are never separated, ever. In heaven and on earth and in heaven or hell, that spirit and soul are together. But that word of God is so sharp, it can divide the two. And so that sometimes it penetrates and people don't like that. And God puts his finger on things. And he's doing that and he's putting pressure on you. And he's doing it so you turn to Jesus and say, dear Jesus, I know I'm a sinner. And you know, people never call in the name of the Lord unless they believe they're a sinner. A lot of them think they're good enough. They're better than their neighbor. And sometimes they say, well, I'm better than some of the members of your church. And when they used to tell me that, now I'm not in a church now, I'm with my church as a Christian Worship Hour. But for about 70 years, I was in the church. And when they say, well, I'm better than some of your members, I never argued with them. Never argued with them, because I had some humdingers of my members. I'm going to tell you, the work of grace was working on them. So the church, it's for these people that are just coming to the Lord. It's for those who are stumbling. It's like a hospital that's taking them in and giving them strength and courage and helping them to come to the full stature of a man, see? And so they'll say, oh, I'm better than some of your members, or I do a lot of good things, or I don't never kick the neighbor's dog or something like that. It's stupid things. And God says, not by works of righteousness which we have done, according to his mercy he saved us. So this Bible, it comes and it's like a fire. It's unquenchable. It can't be put out. It consumes all the noxious and vile things in our life. Puts his finger on that. Is not my word like a fire? You bet it is. And then you can go on and it says, and furthermore, it says, like a hammer that breaketh the rock in pieces. The hammer brings out the thought of power, strength and power. A power that cannot be hindered, a power that cannot be slowed, a power that crushes all things before it, a power that's irresistible and almighty. And when you run up against the Word of God and the Holy Spirit starts applying to your Word of God, to your heart, you're going to have to make a decision. And your decision is what you're going to do with Jesus. Are you going to accept Jesus or are you going to reject him? He says, no, I'm going to be neutral. I like being neutral. I like that neutral stuff. Then, no, I'm not pinned on anything. See, I'm neutral. I'm independent. I'm not no black or white. No, I'm gray. Well, Jesus, you know what Jesus says? He says, if you're not for me, you're against me. You can only be for the devil or for Jesus. That's only two places. And if so, that's when you die. You go to heaven, you go to hell. Depending if you have Jesus, if you have the devil. Because the devil's going to be in Revelation 22. So the devil is going to be cast into the lake of fire with his angels. And that's where all of the people are going to go if they reject Jesus Christ. And that's why we got the Christian worship hour. And that's why we preach our head off, the best we can. And somebody says, well, boy, you didn't do so hot today, did you? Nope, I didn't. I don't usually do too good. But the Holy Spirit does. He takes it. Remember Dwight L. Moody was preaching one time afterwards. A lady says, Mr. Moody, do you know you made 3 grammatical errors in your sermon today? Moody says, oh, I bet I made more than that. But he says, I'm preaching the Bible best I can. People getting saved. How many getting saved the way you're talking? So see, we're none of us going to be perfect. And so we give the best, give it to the Lord. And this wonderful word of God will take it. And he'll use that power to talk to hearts and speak to all people. And yet then, so when that is put to them, then you have to say, okay, I have to have Jesus, I have to have Satan. I can't have both. And so you say, well, I'm going to wait. Okay, that's a decision, isn't it? And so you're on the devil's side, and you're going to wait. You're staying with I'm picking the devil. That's what you're picking. So you have to make that decision. And that's why the word of God is like a power, like a hammer. And that's why we preach. And that's why I preach the Bible all the time. Because if I was going to preach my own my ideas and my philosophies and all that, we'd all go to hell. But God says, preach the word. And he says, preach the word in season and out of season. In other words, he's saying there are no seasons with the word of God. We preach it summer, winter, springtime, and fall. It doesn't make a difference. Summer and winter doesn't matter. Drought or prosperity, and we always preach that Bible. And when I preach that Bible, I know that it's getting to you. Because when I preach that Bible, I can preach with authority. I don't have to say, well, it could be, or it might be, or we hope it is, or it could, you know, people say and this and that. No, we say, thus saith the Lord. That's it. And if you like it, that's fine. If you don't like it, that's fine too. You know, your argument's with God, not with me. If I'm giving you my ideas, you can beat me to death. But if I'm using the Bible, you can't touch me. Because your argument is not with me, it's with God. And then I know, too, that it's going to always bear fruit all over the world. You know, when we're preaching, when these people, our folks are singing the gospel, I know that the Holy Spirit is using those songs to touch hearts. And sometimes he uses a song when he can't use a sermon. I hate that. I hate to say that, but that happens. And so God has used it. He's talking to hearts all over the world. And I know that there's going to be people that are going to respond. And I know it because this is what God says in Isaiah 55, verses 10 and 11. He says, as the rain and the snow come down from heaven and do not return to it without watering the earth and making it bud and flourish, so that it yields seeds for the sower and bread for the eater. So is my word, the Bible. So is my word that goeth out of my mouth. It will not return to me empty, but it will accomplish that what I desire and achieve the purpose for which it has been sent. That word of God is going to always have results. It's always going to have some people coming to the Lord. And I know every time we bring this service and we preach that Bible, somewhere in the world, people are calling on the name of the Lord. And you say, how do you call on the name of the Lord? Well, you just simply talk to Jesus and say, dear Jesus, I'm a sinner and I know I want you. And I know the Holy Spirit. You don't maybe know the Holy Spirit, but you say, I just feel like I want you in my life. I know I've got sins and I know they're terrible and I'm going to have to pay for them. And dear Jesus, I just come into my heart and take away my sins and I'll follow you the days of my life. Jesus said, go and sin no more. Forsook the woman taken in adultery. Go and sin no more. And that doesn't mean you're going to be perfect, because we're never perfect, but it means we abandon our sins and our old way and we become a new creation in Christ. We have new goals and new ideas and new attitudes and a new spirit, and everything is new because we're a new creation, like a hammer, like a fire, bringing results. Then the Bible is like a sword, and it's described in Hebrews 4, 12 and 13. The word of God is living and active, sharper than any two-edged sword. And it penetrates to the dividing of spirit and soul, the joints and the marrow. It judges the thoughts and intents of the heart. Nothing in all creation is hidden from God's sight. Everything is uncovered and laid bare before his eyes, and for him with whom we have to give account. Now just look at that. It's a double-edged sword. It now doesn't have a blunt side to it. It's sharper than any sword that you ever saw. And it goes into the hearts and speaks to the hearts. And God talks about that. He says in 2 Timothy 3, verses 16, he says, all scripture, that's the Bible. Sometimes it's called the Holy Word of God, but it's the Bible or the scripture. He says, all scripture is given by inspiration of God, and it is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be thoroughly furnished unto all good works. It talks about doctrine, and the only place or your whole world that you're going to find good doctrine, true doctrine, is in the Bible. That's the only place, that one book. And when they come around with other books and other ideas, forget it. And then for reproof, it's going to convict us of our sins. And God does that in kindness. He convicts us so that we'll come to him and receive him. It's for correction. We need to correct our ways and change our ways. And then it's we thoroughly furnish that. It means we're thoroughly furnished, we're equipped to do the battle for the Lord, and everything we need, every answer we need for living that spiritual life is in the Bible. If we read it, if we study it, if we pay attention, this is going to speak to us, and whoever we are, wherever we are, the Holy Spirit will take the Word of God and talk to us and speak to us. For instance, King David, mighty King David, when Nathan used the sword of the spirit of the word, he to pierce his heart and have him cry. And he said, well, so Nathan comes and he talks to the king and he uses the word of God. And what is who happens? David says, against thee and thee only have I sinned. He was convicted of his sins. King Josiah, when the sword of the Lord was applied to him, his heart did melt within him and he changed his ways. And Manasseh, when you read about a Manasseh, he was a horrible idolater, and he was cut to the quick with the word of God, and he turned from the idols to worship the one true God, because the word of God spoke to his heart, and it got to his soul, and he turned from his ways. Zacchaeus, when the sword pierced him, that little shrimp of a guy, he cheated his people right and left. And when he got his, the Holy Spirit got there and put the Holy Word of God to him, he says he changed his ways. And he says he would just bless people and he'd give to people everywhere. If we have cheated him, he'd give them way more over. And it changed his whole life. Mary Magdalene, when the Word of the God spoke to her, seven different demons left her heart when the Holy Spirit came and the Word of God came and pierced her whole. These and 1,000 more could be given. For instance, on the day of Pentecost, thousands were saved, become the Holy Spirit. The Word of God was a sharp two-edged sword piercing their heart. And there was a man named Simon Magus, a sorcerer of Samaria. And he was stopped in his tracks in his awful evil ways when Philip the evangelist used the Word of God and pierced his heart and pierced his soul. 12 men called disciples, called apostles, the Word of God spoke to their heart and established them. Yes, yes, the Bible is a sword, trusty and true. It'll never become dull. The problem doesn't lie with the sword. The problem lies that too many pastors aren't using it. And then God's Word is compared to a mirror. James talks about the Bible as seed. And then he talks about the Bible as a mirror. And he talks about two men in James 1, 23 to 25. And he says, for if any man be a hearer of the word and not a doer, He's like a man beholding his natural face in a mirror. For he beholdeth himself and goeth his way and straightway forgetteth what manner of man he was. But whosoever looketh into the perfect law of liberty and continueth therein, he being not a forgetful hearer but a doer of the word, this man shall be blessed in his deed. James pictures two men here. One observes. He looks at it with reflection. He means he just considers it. He just sees himself. But the other man looks into. He bends over. Pours over it. And he sees where he's falling short, where God has to deal with him and talk to him. And so he opens his heart to the Lord. And he begins to correct his ways and walk in the ways of righteousness. There's a big difference. One looked into and applied, and one didn't apply. And every time we preach, I know exactly what's happening. There's going to be some that will take it to heart, and there'll be some just like water off a duck's back, and they'll shred it off, and they'll get it off, and they'll dodge it and duck, and they'll have no part of it. But always preach the Bible, and God will always have people come to himself. And that's exactly with these men. One man will look and may will come. Another man will look and he'll turn the other way and he'll never take the message and he'll go his own sinful way. And as a result, because he listens to the word of God, he is blessed and he is helped. In verse 25, it says he looks intently. That is, he continues in its company. Day by day, he follows it. It isn't one thing that he is on Sunday, and then he lives like the dogs all week. But he comes and is at 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. It's transforming his life. And maybe he's been really deep in sin, and it takes him a while to get it all straightened out. But the Holy Spirit will say, you shouldn't do this. You ought to do this. He just doesn't say you shouldn't do. He says, thou shalt not. But he says, although thou shalt. And God will guide us and he'll direct us. But we have to take that first step. We have to look into that word of God and we have to see what God has to say. Billy Graham says this about reading the Bible. And he says, as we read, the pages seem like mirrors held up before our own minds and hearts, reflecting our own pride and prejudices, our own failures and humiliations, our sins and our sorrows. And so this wonderful word of God, that's why we need to spend time in it. And when we spend time with it, don't just go with your mind all made up and you're all got it all set and you're not going to listen to God. Say, I could be wrong. Maybe you've been to, you know, they used to teach that the world was square and flat and you could drop off of the earth. Those parents that taught that, they believed that with all their heart, but they were wrong. And so you look at the word, don't have your mind made up. Just look at the word. What is God saying? What does he want me to do? And then when we step and do that, we just follow the Lord. And little by little, and we'll never be perfect. We strive for perfection, but we're never perfect. And I know what I thought. Well, when I accepted the Lord, I was 10 years old. And I used to get mad at the milk cow. That was my big problem in life. And the pan evangelist told me, now, you have to stop doing things you shouldn't do. So I knew I shouldn't get mad at that cow. So I thought, okay, now if I can just so I'm not mad at that cow, I'll be a perfect Christian. Okay, so I got it so I wasn't so mad at the cows, but then I'm short on a couple other things. And then I find out, I found out this. The closer I got to Jesus, the more I saw how I was failing. And so I work on that. And I'm still working on that. I am a long ways from being perfect. And when I sin, I tell you what I do. I take 1 John 1:9. If we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And a guy says, I did that once. Now what I'm going to do? You do it again. You do it 1,000 and 1,000,000 times. He'll always forgive you. That wonderful Jesus. And then the final thing, the Bible is compared to a lamp. The psalmist said, thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. And so this wonderful word of God, it will show us how to live. It will show us how to where to walk and what to do. This wonderful light all through life he'll lead us. Now, I've been a Christian. I've been accepted the Lord 86 years. 86 years. And I didn't know what a day would bring forth. I still don't know what a day will bring forth. And just a step at a time. But Jesus is always there. And there's always light, and he always shows the way. It reminds me of when I was out on the farm, and we had a lantern. And this lantern, it was just a globe, and then it had a little place for a wick. And then he put kerosene in there. And that lantern at night, you could carry it, and it made a round light, circular light. And I walked in the dark, and the light was right there. Well, the darkness was everywhere, I was just in that one spot. And I didn't know how was I going to get through that other darkness ahead of me. I didn't know what to do, but if I took a step, the light went ahead of me, and it went ahead of me all the way to the house. And I was scared of the dark, and I still don't like the dark. I admit it. But that's the wonderful way we walk, that wonderful Word of God. You read the Word of God. You study the Word of God. And step by step, he'll show you. You young people listening, God has something for you to do. He has your life all planned out. And the first step is to accept Jesus as your Savior. And then you give your life to the Lord. And you're gifted for something. And you follow the Lord and you honor him through that gift. I write to the people in prison. We hear from prisoners, I don't know how many. We answer every letter we ever get. I tell them all the same thing, that they can be saved in prison. They can accept Jesus. And then I tell them, tell others. Be a witness. Be a missionary. And I get letters where they say, I'm talking to people, and send some literature. Send the new song. That's a little Bible study we have this month of January. It's about the light of the world. And so you can use that little study. Sometimes you use it for Sunday school. Sometimes you use it for prisons. But wherever it is, God's light will go. And so you accept Jesus. And even if you're in prison, God has a plan. He'll use you there. And you young people, as you plan, be open to the Spirit of God. And he'll lead you step by step. And he does it through the Bible. The Word of God is a light that shines and makes a beautiful step. And he leads us all the way from the day we accept Jesus till the day he takes us home. And then we'll be in that city of light, and there's no sun shining there, because God is the light of the world. And that holy city is going to be all glittering and beautiful because of the Son of God. And they'll have no light for the moon or the stars or anything else. They're all the beauty and the light of God. So if you've accepted Jesus, if you want to accept Jesus, you pray right now, dear Jesus, I ask you, please come into my heart, take away my sins. I'll serve you the best I can. And thank you, Jesus, for saving my soul. And if you do that, you write to us. You write to us at the Christian Worship Hour. Christian Worship Hour. And the box is 2002, 2002. And we're in Aberdeen, South Dakota, USA. South Dakota, 57402. You better go on that zip code, 57402, USA. And if you're on shortwave radio, you can listen on, get that pencil ready, and you just write to us, Christian Worship Hour, Box 2002, Aberdeen, South Dakota, USA. And then what we need to do is if you've accepted the Lord, we'll send you literature. If you'd like to have the Bible study, we'll send you that. If you have a question, if you have a prayer, we'll be a prayer request. We'll help you every way we can. And we always do it to the glory of God. And we hear from some of you, and you don't know, you don't have assurance. Or maybe you have a question, or maybe you think you've committed the unpardonable sin. Whatever it is, we'll do everything we can to help you along the way. Christian Worship Hour has been going now for almost 40 years. And I want you to hope that you'll write to us. And when you write, I hope you send us a gift, because we have to pay our way just like anybody else. And we're not going to be begging in Jesus' name. We're just telling you we have a need. And you press God what he wants you to do. And he'll tell you if you should support it, and he'll tell you how much. And if you do send us, we're a member of the Evangelical Council for Financial Accountability. That's an international organization that audits our books. It's not some hometown outfit that's doing it. And they'll check our books, and every penny we get, we receipt, and we spend it just exactly the way we say do on our budget. and it's all to the glory of God and the proclamation of the gospel. So now I'm going to pray for you. Dear Heavenly Father, I thank you for this time together. I thank you for all those who have opened their heart to you. And I pray, Lord, that you'll just help them to turn to the book, to maybe read the Gospel of John, get into a church, and help them to write to us. Lord, we're praying today for the shut-ins, praying for those who can't get out, those who are sick, those who are bedridden, Lord. They can't even get out of bed, or they're in a wheelchair. And time gets long, and they get lonely. And help them to know that you know exactly how they feel. You are here in the flesh. You know exactly how they feel. And that you love them, and that you give them strength and help, and never give them more than they can bear. And then help them to know that someday they'll see you. They'll walk again. They'll jump again. They'll sing again. And oh, that's all through Jesus. Thank you for Jesus. In his name, amen. So we're glad that you opened the door for us. We appreciate that so much. We're looking for those letters or ChristianWorshipHour.com, and you can get this list of our sermons and everything. Check us out, and then next week we'll be back together again. So God loves you, no question about that. Christian Worship Hour loves you, no question about that. I love you. We all love you, and we love the Lord, and we'll be together someday.
My dad loved to preach because he got to tell people of the saving grace of Jesus Christ. For the 76 years he was a pastor, he wanted everyone to know that Jesus loved them, died for them, and rose again, so that anyone who calls upon his name and repents of their sin will have eternal life in heaven. And for those of us that have received Jesus and are born again, Dad wanted to encourage us to grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior. I'm Mike Salem. To learn more about having a relationship with Jesus, visit our website at cwh.org. You can also stream this message again, as well as other 30 and 60 minute programs. Locate a station in your area. Subscribe to our monthly newsletter called A New Song. View frequently asked questions answered by Pastor Salem, as well as newly released devotions. And submit a prayer request on our Pray For Me page. Our weekly program will also be available on our website, our Facebook page, and our YouTube channel. We hope you have been uplifted by today's program. Please pray for this ministry and help us financially to continue proclaiming the gospel through the Christian Worship Hour. We would be most grateful. Thank you, and God bless you.